It's 6:30 on your Thursday evening, and it's the Radio City Legends. Have you got something you want to talk about, Liverpool or Everton-wise, or anything else? Please do give us a ring, 01514720967. 01514720967. Again, Sharpie has come in to find us all moaning and saying, we told you it would happen on Monday.
Yeah, it's true.
That was the conversation before that Liverpool-Wolves game, or Wolves-Liverpool game. Well, there you go, it's come to fruition.
First of all, I said to Sharpie, we'll get beat 2-1.
And it happened.
When I seen the team, it was...
Nine changes is too much, isn't it?
The problem is, just talking to Chris and off air there and Sharpie in the back, we know when you get a young lad, you know, making his debut, you know, we had a couple there, Camacho and Jones, obviously, you know, you can sometimes, if you all play well, you can carry two. One, yeah, you know, then Lovren goes off, you know, with a twisted sock. Something and the young lad come on and you know he done brilliant, but when you got three young lads, you know, 16 to 17 year olds, you're gonna struggle really, when you've got like the peripheral players. If you've got like your Van Dijk at the back, with all due respect, I thought Fabinho done well, I thought Hoover done really well, but if you've got Van Dijk at the back and you've got a bit of a spine in there, Sharpie, yeah, you know, you can do something about it. But it was obvious from early on that we were going to struggle a little bit. You know, the lads up front weren't holding it. They weren't sticking the balls up top. You know, we were playing, they were forcing us and we were never getting out of our half. It just looked horrible the first half. And, you know, I was surprised when we got the equaliser, to be quite honest. And I was delighted and thought, oh, you never know. And we nearly got away with it with Shaqiri's free kick, because that was one of the best saves I've seen for some time. But on the whole, I was really disappointed with a few of the players. I'm not going to name names, you know, but you know, when you get a chance, you know, because the players have been playing so well in the team, none have had a real chance. And when you get a chance like this from yourself, you go through a brick wall.
Well, I can name a couple. So Mignolet wasn't great. Sturridge wasn't great. Origi wasn't great. These are players who should be knocking on the
Moreno,
first team door.
Moreno as well. Yeah. Moreno
you
as well.
Do, but yeah. As John said before, it's hard at times when you're all just pulled and said there, you're playing... Mm. You know, you haven't had any game time, yeah, and you haven't had any relationships and all that kind of thing. Yeah. And listen, you could get away with it if, and this is no disrespect, a lower league team, you'd probably get away with it. But the fact it's Wolves, right, and they're having a decent first season in the Premier League.
The home form was good.
So it was always going to be tough. And I just think that, you know, if they put out that team against Brentford or somebody, that, and that's no disrespect, but I think they probably would have done enough to get a result. Yeah, but I just think against Wolves, who weren't lying down, you know, who went quite strong, you know, and I think it was difficult. You know, if even Liverpool's first team squad would find it hard at Wolves, although they've won down there, they'd find it a hard game. But I just think we had a weekend side that was tough.
I was having a little rant to Sharpie in the office because I said, look at Pep. He's not treated the League Cup semi-final against third-tier opposition with disrespect. Pep last night put out a team which was Muric, Walker, Garcia, Otamendi, Zinchenko, Gundogan, Silva, De Bruyne, Mahrez, Jesus and Sane. Foden had to wait till the 58th minute to come on in the game, and Bernardo Silva did as well.
Yeah, the thing is, what I'll say, we've got a really good squad, Liverpool. But a little bit thin on the ground now with injuries to Chamberlain and a couple of defenders and such. But we've got a really good squad. But Man City's been building this squad for six years. And their second team, they've got more genuine quality than our second team, with all due respect to what we've got. And that's where the problem lies, you know. Jesus, whatever he is, he's a reserve team player, Steve. He doesn't play in front of Aguero. You know, I'm just mentioning him. You know, Gundogan, Silva.
Silva play.
Otamendi. These players, you know...
So you think they're the equivalent of what Liverpool were putting out?
Well, you just put Liverpool... People can do this at home, even Liverpool fans. Put Liverpool's second string, you know, players there. You know, we haven't got them all fit. City have, to be fair. You know, you put cities there and you can see they've paid over the last 5 years for top draw quality. You know,
squad.
So they've got players in their reserve up front. that can score goals and cause problems in midfield, that they've got a bit more ingenuity than what we've got.
But you knew it was a gamble, the Liverpool team.
Oh, no,
I did. Christian, the producer, did. We all knew it.
I didn't fancy it. No way. I thought a draw at best.
Yeah.
You know, with all due respect, you know, Lovren goes off and then you're going, wow, what are you going to do now defensively? Mm. You know, if he stays on, you know, perhaps they wouldn't have got two goals. It might have been one. You know, I don't know. But yeah, the fact that we're going to have the FA Cup, it hurts. You know, it does hurt. Look, you know, City and Tottenham are fighting on four fronts here. They've stayed in this League Cup right through to the semis. With City
we'll
going
through to final?
Tottenham.
No, City.
You know, but they're fighting on four. We're fighting on two now, and I just think that shows the quality of perhaps City's second string players up to what we have in the second string team, and they know that's where we're at.
I think as well, it's easy, and listen, fans pay good money and want to see the team out there and winning games and all that. But I think we don't know enough of what goes on behind the scenes. Now, you don't know how physically fit some of the Liverpool players are. You know, we talk in this day and age about fatigue and they're in this zone, they're in that. You don't know.
Yeah.
So we don't know. There might have been a reason why Klopp has decided to play the boy Camacho or somebody else. You just don't know what, especially after a busy run of games. And listen, if you ask John and I, we'd say just play. We would want you to play. It doesn't matter if it was four games in a week. We'd want to play four games in a week.
Absolutely.
It's changed now. So what we're seeing is, whilst on paper you don't like it and you think, oh, he's played a weakened team there, which that's what it looked like, we don't know what the actual state of the players are, you know, in terms of physical, whether they're tired, whether they're on this red zone, blah, blah, blah.
Well, brought Mo Salah on. Brought Roberto Firmino
on. Yeah, but that's
20
minutes.
Would you not prefer to see them in the first
half?
That's
to stop playing. They'll miss a day's training because of that, you know, basically. But the thing is, what really I can't work out, like, you know, I think Klein should have stayed, you know, to play in the FA Cup for us, you know, in case we got through. Klein stays. Camacho straight away, he's gone to Sporting on loan to the end of the season, which really, it's great for the lad, you know, because you're not going to get any game time for us, you know. It's a decent league, Portuguese league, and, you know, you get experience there. So I couldn't see that one, really, you know, because we're a little bit thin on the ground defensively. I thought, but there might have been reasons, logic behind it, take the money for Solanke, we don't know. You know, that might have been a little bit of a teaser to get Solanke 19 million. You can have him as well to the end of the season. I don't know, but it made us thin on the ground and not as strong to get results or get him back to Anfield, you know, which would have had a better opportunity.
Do you think the wind had a big part to play?
Massive. Length of grass, anyway, wind, all these things.
Anyway, let's get on to Evan. Evan's run out of money. Evan's run out of money here, apparently. Sharpie said the skins, and they've asked me for the loan.
Yeah. John's digging the ground for the stadium. So apparently, according to the general meeting, you need to win the Premier League within 10 years, Sharpie.
It's a nice positive statement, isn't it?
It's
taken out of context. I think what she said was, listen, everybody's got to aim for that.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to aim every year to get in the Champions League. It's common sense. You know, if you get in the Champions League, there's more money coming through. If you win the Premier League, obviously, as well, you know, and prestige and everything else. So I think there was I went a little bit overboard, you know, and watched. I thought she spoke very well. I was at the AGM. You know, I'm honest. It was what we expected. You know, the stadium news is what we expected. We've heard it's going along. You know, there's certain stages which they told the shareholders where we were, actually, and then the manager got questioned. Manager got questioned about zonal marking.
Did he? At the general meeting? But whether he liked it?
It was brilliant, and his reply was great. And he just kind of listened and listened to the guy making his point. And
what did he say?
He went, yeah. He said, I agree, I don't change. If I decide to change, I change, he says. But for you, he said, if you look at the last two winners of the Premier League, zonal marking. Bang, cotton. The boy just went, all right, and sat down.
Is that the forum to be asking about tactics?
No, I don't know. I thought there'd be more questions about the stadium, but...
Maybe the biggest piece of news to come out was the fact that Marcel Brands, and we sort of knew it anyway, but almost confirmed as the major player at the football club, football-wise. He's a director now.
Yeah, he's a director.
He's on the board.
Has it
changed his responsibility in any way or not?
No, but all they said was that, you know, since he's come in, he's been through all levels of the club, and he's down in the academy now and putting a structure in to how the academy play to try and just make a progression so when they go to the first team. So, no, basically, that's what he's been doing, you know. But then obviously he's been appointed on the board now. But no, he's head of the way the direction of the football club's going, definitely in terms of the style of play and players coming in. He did say that would be highly unlikely that there would be any players in January coming in. But an interesting thing, Steve, so I don't know if you're going to touch on it, is the boy Vlasic's remarks today.
Ah, yes. We were going to get to that one.
No, I missed that.
Do you want me to read his quotes?
Yeah, go.
Here we go.
Is he still at the club?
No, he's in CSK Moscow.
Ah, okay.
I'll read you the...
on loan.
I'll read you the pieces a bit that's been written by the Press Association Sports. On loan, Everton winger Nikola Vlasic has criticised the, in inverted commas, awful football played by Sam Allardyce, which he claimed had the team, in inverted commas, terrified of disgruntled fans. Everything changed after Koeman left. The football played by Big Sam was awful. It couldn't even be called football, said Vlasic, who joined CSKA Moscow in the summer following Marco Silva's arrival. In such football, I do not have a place. The team was terrified by everything. The fans, most of all. This season, Marco Silva plays differently, much nicer. It is true that Everton did not make an expected breakthrough, but at least fans now look at the normal football in which the guys, through their actions, are trying to play to try and score and win. Despite the big investments, the team's currently in 11th, and he said, Vlasic, when you bring three players out of Barcelona in a few days, and it's clear you do not have much care for those who came from the small league. So that's a reference to himself. I don't think he thinks he's coming back.
I don't think so, no.
But he's quite keen on criticising the football played by Big Sam.
Well, let's sneak him in and done really well. You know, we bought him, you know, from the creation side, we played in the Europa League, and he started well. But under Sam, we never get a look in. And obviously, the Marco Silva's looked at him and decided the best thing for him was to move. Mm. Went to CSK, scored in the Champions League this year, made quite a good impression. Will he come back in the summer? Tough one, but possibly not. No, I think the club's moved on now, and the manager's moved on. And Marcel Brands, as you talked about before, whether he's his type of player, I don't know. But it would be difficult.
It's interesting what the words he said about Sam Allardyce, and it makes sense, doesn't it? Because it was coming off the terrace as well. Oh. You know what I mean? The players, that was putting players in the press because they knew they wanted to see football.
Well, it shows how much they're feeling it from the fans, doesn't it? You know,
a lot of honesty in that, you know, to the way you were saying about that, playing under Sam Allardyce.
Well done, Nikola Vlasic. It's 6:42. Let's take a couple of callers. Radio City Legends with John Aldridge and Graham Sharp. We're starting on the Liverpool side of things, that team against Wolves, and of course the Premier League game with Brighton that lies ahead. And first on, we've got Steve. Evening to you, Steve.
How you doing? How are things, lad?
Hello, Steve.
What's on your mind this evening, Steve?
Yeah, just a couple of things, I suppose. One of the things I'm wondering is what the lads feel in relation to how Liverpool approached the game during the week. I suppose they're ex-pros, and especially in their day, no disrespect, lads, but there was the glamour of the cup. Yeah. But I think, for me, where Liverpool is in this season specifically, 4 points clear against a very, very strong City side who I don't think anybody could argue have a stronger squad. I feel that Jurgen Klopp approached it the right way, and it's a pity that we didn't get the results. We probably had the hardest tie in the round in terms of being up against the full strength Wolves side, but I just wanted to see what the lads felt in relation to how Jurgen approached it during the week.
Yeah, I think if you had a census amongst Liverpool fans, I think you're saying you'd agree. I think it'd probably be split. I think it'd be 60-40 for people saying he's probably gone about it the wrong way, because such is the FA Cup, you know, honestly. But you can see the logic of what you're saying. Really, it's horrible to go out the cup. The only positive from my side to come out of it, Steve, is the fact that we'll have weekends off, and I'll have 2 weekends off. You know, he's on about the manager wants a break. They want a break in the close. He's got it now. The players have got it now. You know, they can go to the hot weather climates and do what they've done in you know, what Jurgen used to do in Germany and the other managers do around the world. So Liverpool, with that in mind, have got less pressure with getting the players back and keeping them, you know, mentally fit or whatever, physically fit for the games. You know they galvanised now. You know, Matip's coming back and Joe Gomez and, you know, on the horizons, Oxlade-Chamberlain, as long as they can keep everyone fit, there's, you know, the manager's got a dream, you know, for the league, you know, if it goes the right way for them, you know. But you know, from my point of view, I'd rather see us in the cup as well. You know, but you know, it's a tough one, isn't it?
Steve, what happens? What happens if they get knocked out of the Champions League and City come up and pip them for the league, and they finish the season?
Big possibility,
trophyless, which is possible. You're not saying it's going to happen, but it's possible. And then again, the manager gets labelled with the fact that you still haven't won as a trophy. So whilst understand that the Champions League and the Premier League, in terms of what it is now, is bigger trophies than what the FA Cup is. But I just think that for some of those Liverpool fans that went down and travelled to Molineux the other night, you know, I think they probably expected a little bit better than what they saw.
Yeah,
I get what you're saying, Graeme. I think there's a couple of aspects to it, because what is the relevance of the FA Cup in a sense nowadays? So let's take the nostalgic factor of it, because I'm old enough I'm old enough to remember you lads playing in it, put it that way. So
well, you're about 74, yeah.
You're not quite there yet, John. You're not there yet. But it's the same sort of way. In the 80s, in the 90s, it was a huge day. You'd turn on the TV at 10 o'clock in the morning and watch the whole build-up on BBC. It was a full day. It was everything. Nowadays, there is no Cup Winners' Cup. We're not going to finish outside the top four, so we don't need it for a Europa League place. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the relevance that it did in terms of an element of prestige any longer. And it's to get to the final, it's another 600 minutes in the legs of the players. That's what you're looking at. Mm-hmm. And for Liverpool, who do have a smaller squad than City, you have to look at the draw. Okay, listen, Liverpool fans get digs in, or there's digs thrown at them all the time in terms of finding excuses. But you look at the draw we've had. We get the toughest draw in the FA Cup. We get the toughest draw in the Carabao Cup, probably. We did this year, which is not always the case. And we get Bayern in the Champions League. Now look at the run that City have got. They got an easy draw in the Carabao Cup at the same time. They got Burton. Even early in the competition, they had an easy draw in the Carabao. They get an easy draw in the FA Cup and are able to send.
I tell you what, Steve, we'll heat up the balls the next time the draws are made, so that you can get.
That's right, Steve. Yeah. We always have to do with the hard way, Steve. Yeah. You're right, mate.
I'm not getting into a conversation about heated balls. I don't want to drag this out, but I'm saying for me. The cup, we look at it with an air of nostalgia. I think we've got a manager and a set of players now who look at it for what it is at this moment in time. And I would rather see us give ourselves the best possible chance to push for that league. Even if we come up short, I'd rather still see that than win an FA Cup and fall flat on our face in the league, or possibly have to play 5 or 6 extra games and that be the reason why we pick up injuries or whatever else. That's my own.
It's right. No, you know, what you say is sensible. Mm-hmm. But what it's shown for next year, you know, in the summer, Jürgen has to. There's a few players there. He's got rid of a lot of dead wood while he's been in the club and brought much better players in, you know, but there's still work to be done. Because this time next year, I want to see us in the Caribbean Cup final. I want to see us still in the FA Cup. I want to see us running for the league. I want to see us in the Champions, like Manchester City, you know. So he's got to see from that game and attain and say, well, yeah, they're and there. You know, we need now to go and assess that next year. So the squad... You know, he's given new contracts to the major players. That's all great on the pitch. But now to look what City have done and you know, your firepower or whatever it is, and from when you're going to get the players to get better than what we have at this moment in time to help the clubs through. It's always it's great to see Gio Jones coming through, and, you know, Hoover and these lads, and, you know, got young Duncan. You know, I think young Duncan would have done well.
Bobby Duncan, he
could be a great little player
about,
as well.
We talked about it the other night, didn't we, when we said that, and I said it was me. Sorry, I think it's important to win your first trophy. And I mentioned Man City winning the League Cup last, or whenever Pep came in first.
Yeah.
His first trophy was the Carabao Cup. And it gives a belief within the team that we've won a trophy and then we kick on there. And listen, take it from me, that's what happens. I think, John, if you won your first trophy, you want a little bit more than everything else. So I still think that, whilst I totally understand, Steve, where you're coming from in terms of where the FA Cup sits in terms of the Champions League and the league and everything else, I still think it's important enough that it'll give you the platform if you won it, or if you went on a good run in it, It'll give you the platform to go on.
Yeah. Steve, we've got to cut it short there, but thank you very much for your thoughts. Excellent first call on the Radio City Legends. That's Steve on the Reds. We're going to take a short break. Then we're going to catch up with the Wolves captain, Connor Cody, to tell us where it all went right for them and all went wrong for you. Enjoying this half-hour, Sharpie?
I think it's great.
It's the Radio City Legends. It's 5 to 7. It's the Radio City Legends. We'll take more of your calls very shortly. 0151 472 0967. Let's continue that conversation about Liverpool's defeat in the FA Cup. And, of course, there was a man afterwards who hailed it a hell of a victory. It was the Wolves captain, Connor Cody, who joins us now. Connor, thanks for your company, pal.
Good evening, fellas. You okay?
Hey, Connor.
Hi, Connor.
Dude, you don't know what you've done to John Aldridge here, Connor.
No, I'm not talking to you, mate. No.
I'm sure he's all right with how they're doing in the league.
What a performance from you lot. You must be very proud of it.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. It was how we wanted to play. We've got a certain way of playing here at Wolves, and we done it on the night. It was good. No matter what team Liverpool put out, they're always going to put a good team out. You're a good player if you're playing for Liverpool. So we were happy with it. I thought we deserved the victory on the night, and perhaps it'd be in the next round.
I mean, in terms of facing Liverpool, Connor, for you, that was the ideal tie, wasn't it? Was it something special when it came out of the hat?
Yeah, it's fantastic for whenever I come up against Liverpool, for me and my family. We're all Reds, and we follow Wolves now, obviously, my family do, but we were all Reds growing up, so it's always a special game. But to beat them as well was fantastic for myself, and it was something I wanted to do. We found it hard in the league game a few weeks ago, just before Christmas, because Liverpool were very, very good on the night, but luckily we managed to get the win the other night.
In all honesty, Connor, when you heard the team from Liverpool and you're sitting in the dressing room and the team comes through, surely you must have looked at each other and thought, well, fancy us here. Yeah. I know you fancy yourself at home anyway kind of thing, but you must have looked at that team and thought, yeah, fancy this.
To be honest, we were wondering what sort of team, obviously, Jurgen Klopp would play. We heard he'd make a few changes, and we were listening to him speak before the game, and he was saying he's going to make a few changes. So it was interesting to see what he was going to play. And but I just think for us, we go into every game the same, without any fear, as much as possible, to go in playing a certain way and sticking to how we do things and what we're good at. And luckily we did on the night, so it was a good victory for everybody to do the Wolves.
Yeah, you respect the opposition, but you know deep down you got a chance and you're going to do it. Like when I played against Liverpool in the Froxford, you know, the first game we drew 2-2 at the Manor Ground, and I scored and delighted, absolutely, like Cotton, you know, you bought your team, you followed them, you'd always do follow them, but when you're playing against them, it means a lot to go and beat them. Don't Cotton, you know, like, you know, let me go as a kid type of thing, and Cotton got let go. So it's a little bit of a bittersweet moment in it, mate, but well deserved it, you know, on the night.
Like you said, you want to win every game, but I think when you come up against a team who obviously followed as a kid, you were there as a kid, and a team you played for before. So like I said, I was hoping to get the win, but Liverpool obviously are doing ever so well in the league this season, so we'll see how they get on there.
The manager comes over such a really good fella, you know. I like his tactics, I like his demeanour, the way he fronts himself. What's he like to play for?
Oh, he's fantastic, you know, Danny. He's been brilliant with myself for the last 2 years, but I think the football club, the way he's changed the football club, he's changed the direction of it. He's brought everybody together, including the supporters and all the players and everybody at the club. And he's a pleasure to work for. So now it's been fantastic. But us as a team need to carry on listening to him as much as possible to hopefully get better.
Yeah.
And the next round. So, of course,
it was a tricky one.
Doesn't
get easy, like Stoke,
does
it?
Stoke or Shrewsbury, was it?
I think
is that right?
You'd expect Stoke to go through. So
is that home or away?
Away.
Away.
Stoke got a new manager. You know, if they get through as well, so it'll be an interesting one. Yeah, but no, I think Wolves are a good outside bet,
aren't they? Just where is it on the priority list, Connor? I mean, how's it treated in the dressing room
for the money? Because they're safe anyway. They can go and express themselves in every game and go and have a go, because they're not going to go down. You know, just go and enjoy the season. You know, and if the cups they go for it, absolutely. You never know.
And I think we've got quite a small squad here. We've not got a huge squad where we can make lots of changes and different things. So we're all a close-knit squad. We're all very close when we come into. Everybody knows the job when they're going into the team. So every game's a strong team that we put out. So we're looking forward to every game. I think the big word you said before, John, we've got enjoying it.
We're enjoying
the Premier League. We're enjoying everything to do with it, because for quite a lot of us, it's our first time. So it's an incredible league. Every game's so tough, but so tough, but everybody's enjoying it.
But you're in such a position now, it's great for you, you know, as the captain and the players, you know, especially at home, going to play tech, and the manager like it, go and play attacking football, get at them, you know what I mean? Obviously, there's games like City, and sometimes you've got to be a bit wary and play a different way, but all in all, go on and enjoy the experience of the first season and build on it at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's important. Yeah, that's a big thing you're saying. So, look, you know, it's been all right. It's been all right, but yeah, we're looking forward to the rest of the season now.
Conor, give us your evaluation of the man at the other end of the pitch, which was young Hoover. So, a 16-year-old. Give us your thoughts on him, because you must have been looking and thinking, wow, I mean, you know, you played relatively young for Liverpool, but this guy, that's, you know, he's got a lot of growing to do, a lot of learning to do, and he's thrown into a real bear pit there.
Yeah, 100%. And to be honest, when, obviously, Dejan Lovren went down injured, we were a little bit shocked that he was coming on 5 minutes into it, because it's a big game for any young lad to come into, do you know what I mean? It was a tough game, but it's something that he's done really well in. But when he come on, you could see how composed he was in the centre-half, and he's got a bright future ahead of him, really has. I thought he had to. Done really well as well in young Curtis Jones and Rafa Camacho. So I think they've got great players. It'll be interesting to see how they develop.
Mm-hmm. It's not easy being a youngster at Liverpool. Connors did. Connors is the prime example.
Of you can... John thought he was 35 in each.
No, but you know, Connor got a little feel of it, didn't you, mate? You know, and then what they are doing, and okay, it didn't work at Wolves, but they do give, you know, if you're good enough, you do get a more of a chance, you know, nowadays with Jurgen Klopp, obviously. You know, the lad Hoover, the expectations are there. You can't put too much pressure under the lad, but certainly I've watched him for the last few months, and he could become a very big player. But we've seen him fade away in the past, and the future will happen as well.
Yeah, nothing's taken for granted. Nah. Were you allowed any sort of celebration after the match, Connor?
No. We had the next day, so we've spent it with the family because Christmas period has been tough. It's been hard. We've not had many days off over Christmas, so it was nice to have a couple of days with the family. But we've been back in today and getting ready for Manchester City on Monday now.
That's an easy one,
Ah, good. Palace beat them. You can make one. Get that Aguero and stick him in your pocket for 90 minutes, mate.
It's harder than you think, you know.
Connor, top man. Thank you very
much.
Let's
hear from you, pal. All the best. Cheers.
All right. Connor Cody. I didn't realise they were playing Man City next. Wow. He's got a bit on his mind, hasn't he?
That's a good game. Yeah. An exciting game.
Well, Sharpie's right, because the manager, you know, he'll go and have a little bit of a go. You know, you've got to structure it right against City. You can't be a mugger and then go there and go flying.
I saw them first game of the season, John. They played Everton. That's right. Everton should have won the game. And they played some really good stuff, but I thought, maybe a little bit adventurous kind of thing. They play one way where they try and switch it, you know, always get the wide players in. But I tell you what, they've done, they've been like a breath of fresh air, because they came in, they played decent football. As you said, the manager comes across well. They get the FA Cup result as well. But, you know, it's been a good season for them.
Can you not over-focus on individuals if you're Connor Cody heading into that Monday game? Can you not go over-detailed studying on Aguero
or
what
them.
Have you?
They watch them. What do you need to know about Aguero?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying to you. Is there a point where you just go, well, studying's pointless?
Well,
essentially.
Yeah, I think you're saying, you know a player's strong foot. You know, obviously, you know, most people, well, obviously, there's some are two-footed, don't get me wrong. But obviously, you're just trying to show him on the lesser foot or little things like that. But on the game,
a lesser foot?
They can, you know, obviously, you can get a lesser foot and he's away all of a sudden because they're that good, you know.
But how many times do you see people, once they've scored a goal, why did you show him on his stronger foot?
That's right, though, isn't it? That's right.
The game's that quick and you don't, all the things you know that you should do, just goes out your head because it's instinctive.
I remember we played Man City it was at Main Road when I was the manager, player manager. They had a player, I can't think, he's a really good, like a false number nine, number 10, little small one, he was Hungarian or somewhere, I can't think
King
about
Kladze. King Kladze.
It could have been King Kladze. Yeah. All
he was sensational. Georgian, wasn't he?
Yeah. All left-footed.
Yeah, it's him.
Left-footed. And all I said to the lads, stand on his left foot. That's why I defended him. Just stand on his left foot. Whatever he is, just force him on the right foot. And I tell you what, we had them in our pocket. We ended up winning the game 2-1. Honestly, we just stood on his left foot all game, pushed him away from that. Something simple like that.
You'd get a yellow card for that now, but wouldn't you?
I didn't know the interpretation of what he meant.
It's so simple. It's so simple. Some of these players, you know, you have a look at them. You know, show them on the lesser foot.
Yeah.
I hope Connor has a worldie. We really do on Monday. Right, let's get another call. 01514720967. We're talking Everton now. And Matt is next up. Good evening, Matt.
Hey, Steve. You all right?
Yeah, thanks for your company. Power, you want to talk about the Blues? What's on your mind?
I heard Sharpie talking before about Vlasic. I think he's quite on the fence about whether he thinks he'll be there next year. I'm not so sure he will be, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I think for a while now it seems to be... I think there's an issue, though, between him and Silva, to be honest. I think you look back in the summer when he was sent away from training, wasn't he, with Morales and Williams and Martina. Mm. And I think, you know, there are three players who don't have a future, so it just seemed a bit odd to me that you'd send Vlasic away with them. Especially when we sent other players out on loan, didn't we, like Bezic and Sandro, when they didn't get sent away. So I don't know why. For me, I think there's an issue there with... And he said in that interview yesterday as well, he has nothing to do with Silva, which I thought read quite damning about their relationship. But no, I don't think... I don't give him any chance, really, of being at Everton next season.
Matt, he's gone away and he's done well. What we hear, he's done reasonably well, especially in the Champions League. He scored a couple of goals.
Yeah.
And obviously it comes to the fore again, what we let him go for and everything else. Listen, it's the same as in any manager coming in. You either fancy a player or you don't. You know, and Marco Silva just hasn't come in there and then and said, I've made a decision on him. He's done his homework before he's come in and he's looked at the squad of players, and that's why, you know, when he came in, he quickly shipped out Martina, Williams, Morales, Ramirez, people like that. So he'd done his homework. But the only thing in sending people out on loan, if they do go out on loan, and listen, he would have been getting reports about CSKA Moscow and in the Champions League and how he was doing. So it's not as if they've just put him out there and let... They'll have been still watching what he's on and whether he can add something to Everton if he comes back. But when he comes, if he does come back, you just think then, where's he going to fit in? You know, maybe we have moved on. But again, the thing, and I said, to keep saying to people as well, our biggest problem is going to be shifting these players. You know, I'm talking about, you know, the Ramirez guy who, by all accounts, is on a bit of money. You know, weekly wage is criminal at times in terms of how much it is. So that's a problem sometimes that clubs have. That it's okay, people saying, get rid of him, get rid of him, get rid of him. You've got to try and get some money back on them, you know, especially when their wages are that high. And I think it stops clubs coming in for them as well. So it'll be interesting to see whether CSKA Moscow actually want to take him on.
Yeah, I mean, I get the impression from Vlasic, though, that he doesn't want to be at Everton next year either, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, in a sense, I have a lot of sympathy for him because, obviously, he came over last year and, you know, whether or not we bought him just on the back of that split tie or not, you know, he's a 20-year-old kid in a new country, and then the manager who obviously fancied him, I think, in Koeman, gets sacked. And then, I think he said yesterday, didn't he, he said everything changed after he left. Then he has the uncertainty with Unsworth, and then Allardyce comes in and he's had a go at Allardyce had ran the football. And I think as well, I know his sister particularly on social media, and that was very vocal about him not playing because he was fit or something like that. Yeah. So I don't think it's not been easy for him, but I don't think, you know, at the same time, if we sell him in the summer, it's not as if, you know, when we sold Lukaku and we lost all of Lukaku's goals, it's not as if we've lost a player who's given us a massive return in Vlasic.
Matt, just quickly moving away from this point and onto those quotes that were made by Mashiri at the general meeting. So he's essentially said, I've thrown £250 million on transfer fees in the past 2 years. It's not the answer. It's getting limited performance levels. We need to improve things. So now he's saying it's all about youngsters and value for money. Are you happy with that sort of direction?
In terms of limiting spending and bringing players through. Yeah, if they're good enough, I think...
I mean, to be a big challenger, do you need a mix of both? You've got to buy your Richarlisons at the same time, don't you?
Tell, Matt just mentioned it there. It's all right if there are talent coming through. There is talent coming through, sorry. If there's talent coming through, all well and good. But listen,
special,
we've talked about this time and time again, and John just mentioned it there. you have got to be special nowadays to get into that Premier League. And I mean really special. Yeah. I'm talking about, you know, going back as far as Rooney or, in a lesser extent, maybe Bartley. Somebody that's got to be shining.
Yeah.
For And so it's easy saying we're done. And I understand what he said, because I think the buying policy, you know, when Steve Walsh was in charge with Koeman, was crazy at times. If we bought too many similar players for the one position. Now, I can fully understand where Mashiri's coming from. But we've also got to be careful to say, listen, if we're going to rely on the kids have got to be special. And we've got to make sure that. And what we don't want to do is rely on kids who ain't good enough. I think it's what we have to see is progression. I think that's what Mr. Mashiri's trying to get. We need to see progression. He's bought some players in at the moment. We mentioned the three from Barcelona. It'd be great business if we can keep the boy Gomez. And then hopefully move forward and just buy here and there and maybe some younger players in terms of age. But I just think it's going to be tough. And I've said it time and time again. People have got to be patient and show a little bit of patience. It doesn't happen overnight. And I think it's important we get the best out of the players we've got.
You used to be able to, like, I'm just saying for an example, used to be players, young players, who were like, you say 7 out of 10. And you think, oh, he could become a 10 out of 10. You know, a 9 out of 10. So we'll play him in the team, play him in the team. Don't do that now.
No.
Can't do it now, can you? You've got to be a 9 out of 10 and get them to a 10 out of 10, if that makes sense. You know, such is the way, you know, there is now. You don't get away with not now on the pitch.
No.
Matt, anything else to add?
Well, I think Sharpie's right, but I think, you know, Mashiri, you know, it's as the owner, I don't think ideally you want your youngsters coming through, don't you? You don't want to have to keep spending 200 million every summer.
Absolutely, ideally.
But, you know, I think...
Not easy.
You know, if Marco Silva thought Kieran Dow was ready, I don't think he would have loaned him out to Sheffield United, because we don't really have anyone else.
That's a good point.
In reserve for Sigurdsson. Same with Davies, really. I mean, he brought Gomez on for Davies against Lincoln, which I thought was quite a damning indictment of where Davies is at the moment.
Matt, very, very quickly, what are we saying? I'll say it again, is young players need to get out and play. Need to get out and play at a level, a league level, and this is no disrespect whatsoever to 23 level, but... Yeah. They have to go out and play regularly. And I think Kieran Dell's gone out now. He'll play, well, hopefully play regularly. It might be difficult at Sheffield United. Mm. But they need to get out and play rather than play 23s all the time.
Matt, thank you very much indeed. I know Matt is one of the regular contributors on the excellent website, the Royal Blue Merseys. Thanks for your time, Matt.
Thank you very much.
Good stuff. 11 minutes past 7. We're going to do Pens next. Aldo's still on a roll. You're tired, Aldo. Lifted your microphone up then. You're just going...
That music's woke me up.
Yeah? Reminds you of that Netflix programme you've been watching.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
House on the Haunted Hill. Yeah? I hate horror films.
It's one the other night, but it was windy. Which one?
That was a horror film, you're right there, mate. Yeah.
Amongst the top stories today, footballing wise, Juventus favourite to sign Aaron Ramsey.
Yeah.
Good move for
good
him.
Signing.
Isn't it?
Yeah, good signing.
I think he'll be jockeying Ronaldo for the top paid player there. and what else do we have? I'll tell you what, we'll look at that in a moment or two. We'll do the quiz. Let's do Pens. Sharpie 14, Aldo 11.
Yeah,
this is a chance to get within two, although I'm feeling that John is a little bit fatigued tonight.
Are you fatigued?
Get me on the back,
do you not think so?
Foot,
look at him.
No, it's a bit.
Looks like the week's caught up with him.
No. Monday took the wind out of me sailing.
Yeah, I can see. Not been put back in.
Yeah.
All right.
Sharpie's first tonight.
No, John's first tonight.
Oh, am I?
Yeah, I went first the other night.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Let me clarify as well, if it goes to a tiebreaker. You're first to answer.
Why am I supposed to answer?
Because you lost the last game.
Oh, the rules have changed again. Since when's that been the rule? Since when's that been the rule?
That happened to me.
Yeah. No. All right, come on. First question, John.
You'll get the music one here again.
He does tend to pick
number
it,
one.
Doesn't he?
Oh, no, he's not.
Name the song and the artist.
No, that's in the
face. Hey, no throwing things in the studio. Name the song and the artist. You ready, John?
Ever since I was a young boy, come on. Ever since
I was a young boy, The Who.
The Who. And?
Coming down the amusement arcade.
Pinball Wizard.
Full Tap with Matt Jones.
Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
This that was quite is Radio City
on
Talk.
To, your choice, Sharpie.
You get the voice one going.
Six.
Number six. Last time Bournemouth played. Should that be, Christian, should that be last time Bournemouth played Everton?
Hold on. Why not change it again? Because it's mine.
No, he's written the question incorrectly. Last time Bournemouth played Bournemouth played Everton, it was 2-2.
Yeah.
Who scored Everton's second goal in that game?
Oh, come on. Come on, Sharpie. I know, I remember it.
No.
What's that, John?
Lee Hulstedter.
Go on, have a go.
I'll go Richarlison.
Absolutely no idea.
Sharpie.
No. It was Michael Keane.
I was going to say that as well.
That was
I'm glad
the
I didn't pick that one. Eh?
John?
That's the mystery voice, you'll get it.
Number three.
Arsenal won the league championship in 1991. In 1990, the 1991 season. So you know what I mean, where it starts in 1990, finishes in 1991. How many points were they deducted for the famous brawl at Old Trafford in that season?
Two.
What was brilliant about that was Sharpie tried to mislead him.
Oh, no.
So Sharpie normally tries to give him the wrong answer. He just gave you the correct answer.
No, it was three.
I was going to say three. Team man.
Oh, very good.
What number was that?
That was number three.
Oh, that was funny.
Sharpie?
Four.
Number four, what was the score when Liverpool faced Brighton at Anfield earlier in the season?
Ooh.
3-0.
Absolutely no idea.
No, it wasn't. It 1-0. Was 1-0. Mo Salah. That was the answer. Mm. John, we'll just finish it off, but it's a certainty. It's a penalty win for Liverpool. That was number four. So you've got number five and number two.
Five.
Number five. Okay, it's mystery voice time.
Hey, tell us who this is.
According to Michael, your burgers are the best. According to Michael, your burgers are the best.
You don't know who that is?
No.
Everyone knows who that is.
No.
Not even
Sam
a clue.
Sam Allardyce.
No, famous comedian.
Oh, it doesn't matter anyway now. Sharpie, go on, who is it?
No.
It's Peter Keith.
It is Peter Kay. Yeah, and Sharpie will finish with this. Who's recently been named as Europe's new Ryder Cup captain?
Yeah, I know. Padraig.
Oh, that one, yeah.
See how they've got two each there.
On goal.
It's got to be a record. How many's on the bounce now? Four.
That's what happens when you've got the winning mentality, Sharpie.
I'm getting
Graham Sharp 14, John Aldridge 12.
Yeah. Wow.
When are you going to meet Portugal next?
Sharpie, if we had to
choose... Oh, when he done that with a two, that's a whopper, that one.
If we had to choose Roy Evans, Dominic Matteo or Stephen Warnock to come in and play the quiz against you, who would you like?
Roy.
Disgraceful. No respect for the gentleman that is Roy Evans. Right, let's take some more callers. Radio City Legends, 21 minutes past 7 o'clock. And, of course, the game's coming this weekend. Liverpool are playing on Saturday in a 3 p.m. kickoff.
Yeah.
And Everton on Sunday in a 2:15 kickoff. But Liverpool at Brighton's a little bit of a sticky one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, actually. Not overly confident, but they've got to bounce back. You've got to show the credentials, you know, if you're going to go 1-5 against City. And by doing that, you've got to go to Brighton and win. With all due respect, they've done well. Chris Hughton's a great man. He's done a great job there. Evan's been there and found it tough. Mm-hmm. You know, not for granted. They beat Man United, you know. So it's, albeit that was with Mourinho there. But it'll be a tough game. It'll be a tough game, you know. But we beat them last year. Very convincingly, Anything will do. 1-0, 2-1, anything, you know.
Fabinho's going to have to play centre-back, isn't he, alongside Virgil van
Dijk?
Yeah,
but the manager's got to just say, like...
Down in the coast of the world, isn't it? Gets windy, doesn't it? It does.
You've got to show your...
wind theme's quite prominent with you, Sharpie?
You've got to show your credentials.
No, they'll win down there.
I look at
and the big boy Duffy, Irish international, was at Everton, really good player, doing really well down there. But I think if Liverpool's front three again, I think they've got too much movement for them. Yeah. I think those two centre-halves have got a big, strong, powerful, old-fashioned, go and head it and kick it. Yeah. I just think Liverpool might be too clever.
I think, obviously, the key is what in midfield. I think with Shaqiri, would he go Keita, but certainly one of them had to play in midfield.
Let's quickly squeeze in a caller. Only got 3 minutes left. I think we've got Dom as our final caller on the Radio City Legends today. Welcome along, Dom.
Hi, Jan.
Dom.
What's on your mind, Dom?
I just wanted to talk about Liverpool in general and the progression we've made under Klopp in particular the last few seasons. I think over the last few weeks with the defeat to City, you know, a lot of pressure has been put on how we're going to cope with it and stuff like that. But I think it's time we just sort of sit back a bit and trust in Klopp and what he's done so far.
No reason not to be honest, Tom, is it?
Yeah, well, I think if you look at the last few seasons, we've made progression every single season. I'm 22. As a Liverpool fan, this is... You know, I haven't really seen this with any other manager. Mm-hmm. When we finished second a few years ago under Rodgers, I think we rode that wave a little bit and we're one-dimensional team. But you see the team now. The recruitment, I think, is being unbelievable by Klopp. We're going out getting our number one targets who are elite players at the top of the game, whereas in the past we were getting the second or third choice. Yep. I think there was a lot of doubt when Bouvak left last season as well, and you know, the talk about him going to Arsenal and all that, but I think credit's got to be given to Klopp that he's managed the whole situation so well. And if you look at the bigger picture where we are now, I think we just need to hold our heads a bit here, and I think we've got a huge chance of going for this title.
Yeah, no, good points. No, I agree. You know, I think you showed the signs, you know, on Saturday. It's the biggest game of the season, obviously, now after what's happened in the last week or two. Go to Brighton and then try and kick on. But you're right about Klopp, absolutely.
In particular, the recruitment process, I think it's also a lot about retention, you know. The players that he signed, like to Alisson and Van Dijk, leagues are won in fine margins, and these players are able to influence them fine margins in games. You look at the City game, the two goals we conceded, they are fine margins, but the players like Van Dijk and Alisson, they're able to, in those moments, perform at such a level. Whereas in the past, we haven't had that. And, you know, I talk about the recruitment, but also the retention of, you know, he's got to make cutthroat decisions of keeping players and letting them go. I think, like, Lucas is an example where other managers might have kept them a few more seasons.
Yeah,
which might have held us back. But the likes of Sturridge and Origi, he's made that decision to keep them, and they've taken criticism for the performance level. But look at Chelsea away when Sturridge comes on and scores that goal. Origi in the derby. I just think that Klopp's
Dom, we've got to shut it down there, but thank you very much indeed.
Cheers, Dom.
Great points. Fantastic call to finish the show on. Gents, thank you very much indeed. Prediction for Everton. They'll beat Bournemouth, will they?
Won't be easy.
No?
I'd like to think so, but won't be easy.
Okay, and Liverpool, you're a little bit worried, but...
Yeah, 2-1. I quite fancy 2-1.
Boys, thank you very much. Radio City Legends back on Monday.